So, you remember what we got into, and it was, you know, pretty hard seeing it from God's point of view, and that's really the, I think this whole thing of pro-self and the breach, yes, it's informative, yes, it's eye-opening, yes, it's all this kind of stuff. But I think the main thing that we can get out of this is how it affected God. Yeah. And I think for a change, it doesn't have to be about us. Pro self. We can by the Spirit see into the Father's heart and see into the Lord's heart and begin to be moved for them and begin to read the scriptures around all of that we're all so familiar with in new light and in a new understanding. And there's this, see, the Lord's just, for those of you on, you feel that? It's the presence of God come. Anyway, I just think that tonight, Lord willing, we're going to be able to see a new opportunity in Noah to really fellowship with him in his sufferings. So you remember what we dealt with last time. What we dealt with was the fallen angels, as it were, mating with human women, and that the result of that is a mixture of the seed, a mixture of the seed. In other words, God's hope of let us make man or mankind in our image and after our likeness got polluted, you know, got infiltrated, got God's domain, God's heart, God's, not just his plan. It's not like somebody had blueprints and somebody spilled ink on it. This is his heart desire plan. And, you know, the story of Noah and that portion and going into what we'll get into tonight is not just a story, and it's not just where we go to the story and we read different parts and we go, oh, this is written in here so that my faith will be stronger or something like that, instead of let's approach first without it being about us. Amen. I mean, let's do it. Let's really, not just in this story, but the Bible begin to look more deeply into the heart of God, into the care of God. We dealt with some of that in Ireland about Jesus wept, and I made a statement to them. I said, you know, I read the scripture about Jesus weeping, and then I said, what if there was a sin against making God's Son cry? Because if there was, we wouldn't know anything about it. We wouldn't feel it. You understand what I mean? We just read over the story, you know, and then later on, years later, it comes up again. We read over that and we go, you know, we find some theorem to suit our life. Or we look at the Jerusalem and we go, you bad people. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hate to say it, but I'll just say this, we're worse. The Jews were really, in a certain sense, a shadow of the real, which is the church. Anyway, I don't want to get all into that. And I get excited, and then I start, it's like, stop it. Don't shake your arms, Randy. All right, so, but I want to read the scriptures just in front of the ones that we read last week. And I want us to just start considering, because I don't know that we've really ever considered it in light of anything other than, oh, well, okay. So let's read that. It's in chapter 5, starting with verse 28, and it goes down to verse 32, and then after 32 begins 6:1, Genesis. Okay? Genesis 5, verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. And he called his name Noah. Wow. You think about God and Noah. I mean, I don't know that I'm convinced that Noah and his family all, or that his family that got on the ark all really knew what was going on. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't think we really get information that confirms that they really had it together. I think there's at least a little information that one of the sons didn't have the spirit of it. But Noah was an unusual person in that sense. And begat a son. I love that. He begat a son. That's what God wants to do. He wants to beget his son in us. Again, but of course you've heard me say this before, but again, I've lived around deeper life people, you know, most of my Christianity. And the phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory, was up until new creation started being raised up, was always emphasized, Christ in me is the hope of glory, you know, that's my hope. But as those of you who've been around me long enough know, I believe that's God's hope. Christ in you, to have a son in you, to have a son. Thank God this side of my body is working. Have a son. You know, we're wounded on both sides, aren't we? Is it your... together we make one decent person. Okay, he had a son, begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, listen to this, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. What? And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Bacon. I do that every time, and I will do it the rest of my life. It's just, it'll never leave me. All right, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, then it moves into chapter 6, and then we start getting the information of the breach. And remember now, the path we're following is, you know, the original breach, the one that happened with the fallen angels, the one that happened with Adam and Eve, the one that happened with, see, going right on down. So we're still only on the second one, isn't it? Yeah, fallen angels. So that's what we moved into, and we got deeply into that last time. But this time, I want us to see it from God's point of view, And I don't want us to see it from fallen angels' point of view this time, this class. I want us to see it from Noah's point of view. God and Noah, just them being together. Okay? All right. So with the scriptures in chapter 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Okay, so basically, the image is being changed, and it's being changed into the breech master's image. They became men of old, men of renown, mighty men, all of this greatness, all of this highness, all of this exaltedness, mightier, higher, taller, look down on everybody. And mankind probably just sees it as one other thing going on, but God sees it as wiping out or let's say bringing the breach to the earth with fallen angels and changing the image that God always wanted. That, and we'll get into this probably the next class or the next one. Changing the image that the Maker planned for. And so, my subtitle here is still in chapter 6 is The Scene as God Sees It on Earth. We did read these last time. And God saw that the wickedness of man, which was the whole earth, folks, he wiped out everybody but Noah and his family, folks. The whole world was filled with this spirit. Now, we'll eventually get into a mind-blowing set of scriptures that are going to prove that that's the truth today. Yeah. You know, we talked about it, didn't we? Yeah. And God saw the wickedness of man, which was the whole earth, except Noah and his family, was great in the earth, and it was in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, so the way I always viewed that was, wow, things just got bad quickly, and people were, anybody ever see a movie called, I think it was War Z? Anybody see that? World War, was it? World War Z. If you did see it, raise your hand. Oh my God. You should see that thing. Remember it? When we, you know. It was insane. It was like about zombies, but it was not like, you know, it was not like any other zombie movie you would ever see. Well, here's the kicker. We see this earth that's only evil continually as like World War Z conditions, when in fact it wasn't that. It was this spirit of pro-self. And we talked about this one time in Ireland again, a couple of years ago, where I was dealing, and Isaac, you were there too, when we talked about this, and we were talking about Noah, remember that? And we talked about the fact that when it said there violence continually, the word violence there didn't mean, you know, shooting and killing and, you know, running rampant like that. What it meant was this way that we treat one another. This arrogance or this disrespect or this, you know, it really was a different word than just, you know, instead of pushing somebody down, it's pushing somebody around because you can, because you're got more money or because you're a lord and they're a peasant or, you know, whatever. But it was all that, and it was everybody was, you know, so the lord does that, the person who's a higher person does that to this person, and then he can't do it back to the Lord person, so he does it to somebody under him, and then the person under him does it to someone else. It would be a little bit like if the way that the world ran was off of commerce and that sort of thing, you know, and so somebody who had a big company, and they to get going, they had prices kind of decent, and everybody got used to that. And then at a certain juncture, they said, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm greedy, I want more personally. So they just raised the high price up. So the next guy down, the guy that's got to take it to the stores, he's having to raise the prices of what he's doing. Once it hits the stores, they're having to raise the prices, da da da, on and on and on and on. And it's all greed, 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 greed. I mean, I know they didn't have stores back then, but they did have to buy goods from one another and stuff. And it was just, well, I can do this to you. They did it to me, I'll do it to you. I mean, you know. Why should I be the one that stops that and I lose? And does it make sense? I'm sorry. I can't breathe very deeply, and I just keep on doing this. May I have another drink, please? Mike Gentry to you, my brother. Hallelujah. All right. So, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Let us make man, and God created man in his own image after his likeness. Grieved him at his heart. Grieved him at his heart. How do we read that and not affect us? No, seriously. How do we, if we care anything about God, but that kind of system, the world wisdom, that kind of system makes us that wisdom that Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt myself. I will this and that. Folks, that isn't just momentary decisions. It is, but it's not. That's not the basis of it. That's not the roots of it. It's not just, hey, I'll just exalt myself in this. It is a spirit, it is a wisdom that is within man that just will do that unless it's Christ formed in them. They will do that. So only evil continually is hard to reach unless it's more than your actions. It has to be an invisible way of thinking and assuming that this is all okay because we all think this way. And it's not. Not with God. It's a false image. It's worse than a false. It's a breach of the nature of God. It's introducing another nature. Yeah. Come on up here. We really have to do this. Sorry, but people on Skype need to.
Well, I wasn't trying to hijack anything here. You know, you may have already covered this in another class, so forgive me if I'm being redundant, but just on the note that you're talking about, it struck me how when he says, you know, in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. Right before that, it says, the same became mighty men, men which were of old, men of renown. So you have men becoming mighty, yep, men of renown, and God saw the wickedness of man. You know, you just think of all that we've talked about with the devil. I will be great. And how that name, the word renown, it can translate, and some translations translate it to just the name. Men of the name.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, if you fast forward even to the Tower of Babel, let us make for ourselves a name. And there's this, Cain built his son a city and named it after his son. You know, there's this thing of my name. You know, the thing that started in Satan.
Yep.
And that same exaltation spirit, men of renown, and God saw the wickedness of man. You know, and it's like, you don't have to be a renowned man to have that spirit working in you. But you're glorifying that. You're wishing you were that. You're treating others poorly if you can get away with it on whatever level that you're at. You know what I mean? That spirit can be there. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a king or something. So anyway.
That was it. No, it just filters on down. I mean, till the lowest person is just a poor person that everybody kicks around. And they would do it. I mean, I can think of a powerful example, but I'd like to stick a little bit with where we're going here, so I'm not gonna say it, but it just really is true. Let me just say it like this: you get put in a concentration camp, and food is scarce, and da 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 da, and you'd be surprised what you would do to others to get it, unless Christ in His nature is really in you. The lamb, pro-self, will be just as pro-self there, you know. And if you don't really understand that or believe it, then you're deceived by pro-self because it's the truth. It's the truth. And the other thing is, you know, I used to do this a lot, but I used to say, you know, if you don't believe that, is it okay if I go ahead and pray for God to do certain things to show you if it's true? And if it's not true, then He won't do anything. And then, you know, and they go, okay, I'll be checking with the Lord if this is true or not. All right, so I'm not quite that crazy anymore. Not quite. All right. It grieved Him at His heart. And I mean, it could have used any number of words, right? I mean, it could have used, you know, he just got really mad. But there was something that was in His heart for man and for Himself and for that, for the fellowship of that. And to live with that in the city of light, you know, we described that as that from a previous class where we got into that script, a bunch of scriptures on that, and He saw. Well, what did He see? He didn't just see a breach. He didn't just see an enemy. He saw the end of what He and the Father and the Holy Spirit wanted to bring about. For our good. That's what He saw. And so that's where the next words come from. And the Lord said, I will destroy man that I have created from the face of the earth. Because the image is marred. See, this isn't a sin and you repent of and then it's gone. It's not. Anyway. both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. All right, and so I wrote, it may be hard to believe this, but the whole of humanity had already been breached by the devil and his fallen angels. That's quick. Well, it's not that quick. One person would live to, Methuselah was 1,000 years old. So I guess, you know. at this time in history. However, it is imperative that you do believe it, for later we will be presented with information that is even more shocking. All right, so the Bible declares that he sees everything, right? He sees, he looks, he sees all the wickedness of man. The Bible declares that he sees. We see this in Psalm 15, and it says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. All right. So how did we used to read that? We used to read that, well, he sees sinners and he sees us. Right? I mean, and that's not it. That's not it. He sees what's not his son, and he sees his son if he's there. If we are anti-pro self and pro lamb. You think of, or at least I can picture right now, I can picture the slaughtered lamb on the throne, and I can picture all these people saying, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. And even within those phrases, it says, "Who?" And they're worshiping him on this basis, who hath redeemed us to God. It doesn't say redeemed us from hell. It says, you brought us back. You dealt with this breach. You hath redeemed us to God. Thou art worthy. What? Thou who? Crucified lamb. Slaughtered lamb. You did it. You did it. You got low, and then you got lower, and then you got lower, and then you got lower, and then you got the lowest, and you were the scum of the earth, and mocked and laughed, and still to this day across the globe there are people that mock you. You believe in God? You believe in fairy tales? You believe in, you know, all this stuff? That's probably the result of taskmaster making me speak 10 times or whatever in Ireland. Yeah. I think I was trying to get a hold of Kelly and couldn't get her. And I was already back, and I called or texted Jennifer. And I said, could you tell the boss? She goes, you talking about Kelly? I said, yeah. I'm not talking about Jesus. And she trembled in fear to have to go before the boss. Just kidding, for God's sake. All right. So, the eyes of the Lord. Beholding the evil and the good. However, there was only one problem with this verse concerning what he saw this time. Genesis 6:5 declares, and God saw that the wickedness, the whole earth, was great. The wickedness was great in the earth. The wickedness was great in the earth, okay? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Okay, so, and once again, what if the evil isn't killing or doing this or doing that? It was the word violence that we talked about. It was just mistreating, just, you know, stepping on or not caring, not caring. And then, so I wrote, what was the effect of this sight, this way of seeing from God? The next verse says, and it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. In other words, see, this isn't just some, this is God seeing it. I can't tell you how sad that must have been for him to just look. Okay, you know, the other verse I read in Psalms was, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and he can't find it. He can't find his son. He can't find that spirit. And it grieved him at his heart. Maybe this can bring new insight to us when it says Jesus became sin, or why the Lord started his prayer in the garden with, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, can you kind of see, if he's looking, Jesus is looking and basically seeing all of this evil continually, and he's going, you want to put that on me? You know what I mean? You want me to become that which is the exact opposite of us, the exact opposite of you, Father, the exact opposite of you, Holy Spirit, the exact opposite of who I've been from eternity past and will always be, but you want me to become that? And then be seen as that in your eyes? Could that just rip the Father's heart out, or the Son's heart out, to have to do that? And so Jesus hangs on the cross at a certain juncture. He, you know, him who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's not the exact quote, but it's close. And it is Jesus bearing that sin. And it's as if the Father turned his face away because he was no longer sinless, if you will. He was the scapegoat that everything was put on. But God, you know, as it were, turned his face and wouldn't look at him. And Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is not coronavirus. I just got over that yesterday, so. Okay, and then 2 Chronicles 16:9 states, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth and to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Well, we know none of us are perfect, but he's not talking about that kind of perfect. He's talking about, simplified in extremely profound words. First commandment, the first thing he wanted, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The first commandment is don't kill or don't do this. The first commandment, which is fulfills all commandments, it does more than that, by the way. It does take care of the law, but the law is not what it fulfills God's heart. It fulfills the Father's heart. And if you love him, and you want to be with him, and you want to know him, and you want to feel his heart, and you want to, like the Godhead, the way they're always taking care of one another, you want to jump in and give back and do it with a perfect heart. Or a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. God. God, not Jesus, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. They're going to see the workings of God. And so, you know, so what we do is we say, well, the scripture says, thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not whatever, like that. And we say, okay, I'm going to be a good Christian, and I'm going to go through life, and I'm not going to do this. And so you do that, and then you die, and you stand before the Lord. And you say, I stayed, you know, pure. I didn't break that sin, you know, or do that sin. And he has a testimony, a memorial that he'll point to for everybody that dies and stands there and tells them the thing that they did that kept the law. That is, God will point over there and say, you see that? That memorial over there? We'll look over there and it'll be Mary Bethany. Who was a prostitute, by the way. And I'm not encouraging you to become a prostitute. Okay. Mike. But it's not going to be the commandment that kept it. He's going to say, and what did she do? Well, she was worse than me. And he'll say, well, but she loved much. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Da-da-da. She loved much. And she will be a memorial forever up here to all of you people that are, you know, I mean, and Jesus even said, you know, her sins, which are many, shall be forgiven, and yours won't. What kind of heresy is this? That we should love God? Yeah. This is terrible. Yeah, burn him at the stake. He wants us to love God. Well, folks, I don't think she was thinking, well, you know, if I come in there and pour this stuff on him and everything, that he's going to forget everything I'm doing. I don't think that came to her mind. I think she was in there because she loved much. And he saw it and went, this thing's going to be a memorial. You know? I don't know that she'll be up there, you know, as a memorial beside, and everybody will... But maybe in his heart she will. Maybe. All right, so... In 2 Chronicles 16:9, I said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So let's just picture God scanning. Here he is. He's doing it now. He's going to do the scan. You know, you ever done that to get all the bugs and stuff off your computer? You know, we're going to Norton this baby. Well, God's going to do the scan. Okay, so he's scanning the whole earth, and he's looking. Let's see. So let's just picture God scanning the whole earth, but all he can see is pain and grief over how the breach has decimated his creation. But because of hope, he keeps scanning. Suddenly he notices something different. The eyes of the Lord that had been running throughout the whole earth stopped scanning. And the one they stopped on was scanning God back. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Wow. So, you know, and the thing that we should learn from this is, I'll be like Noah. You know, never mind. He doesn't want you to be like Noah. He wants you to be like his son. All right, the next part, it is time to stop. So let me say that we didn't really get to the good part. The really good part, I mean. I mean, it is good. No, what didn't? No, you people. This is what you do in Ireland too, and it's like, no, keep going. You know, I'm just bones in the chair. Come on, one more verse. Well, I can say it, and then you can go search it all out. How about that? Nah, we're gonna quit. But I do promise you that if you can be here the next time, or be sure and listen to it, I promise you, it's gonna be good, and it's gonna be an eye opener. It's gonna be an eye opener, and it's gonna be an eye opener in relationship to the Lord, and in relationship to seeing His heart, and in relationship to the potential of the scriptures not just being stories that you know have special little things that will help me to have faith, more faith or something, but it will draw out, if we see it properly, it'll draw out our hearts for God, to God. And it'll put us, in a position to see the scriptures, these scriptures, no longer potentially in the light of pro-self, but in the light of the Lamb. And then you hear Him say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, you know. Blessed are they when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. You have the potential of seeing from God's heart. So here's what I would do if I was you. I would say, do something, mark this down, do something as a reminder, send yourself an email or something, you know, and say, before the next class, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, Lord, I am asking you, not for my sake, but for your sake, that I may pour oil on your feet or on your head or, you know, pour care upon you, and that I may see correctly for a change in this story. And that's really, 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 I mean, I'm telling you, and you come also and be prepared to, when I get through, to say, well, that ain't what it means, or I thought it'd be better than that. I think that you're going to find that there's another view of what's going on. So you know, and add to it this part, because I used to do it all the time, still do at times. Lord, if there's nothing in this from you, if this is off, then just wipe it away from my mind and everything. But if it's from you, Lord, open my heart that I may be with you. Not just see it, because if you pray and your constant prayer is just to see it, it's going to become your enemy. The seeing of it's going to become your enemy because it didn't enter into your heart. You just got something really deep and really good to impress other people, and pro-self will rise like leaven, baby. Okay? So, Father, we are, oh, we're so in need of your Son. We're so in need of the Lamb, and that's why the contrast in pro-self is the Lamb, the slaughtered Lamb. And we just thank you for your ever-present, caring heart to bring us into that reality, eternal reality, to love you, to care about you, and to flow with what it means to flow with the Godhead. Not that we're God, we'll never become that, Father, but to flow with you by Christ in us, by stepping out of the picture, by no more eyes, but you, y'all. And to find you in intimate ways that matter to you instead of in deep religious teaching ways that matter to us. We're sorry we're so religious and not realizing that you didn't really come to start a religion. You never mentioned a religion in Genesis or on. All that religion stuff started coming up when we became disobedient in the wilderness. And you tried to give us ways that we could see the real, and we just made it part of the religion. So, Father, thank you, because we believe that you do hear this prayer. And despite and in spite of all of our lack and all of the failures that we may do between now and next week, we are ready to come to you in class and say, we really just want to be with you in your heart. But this one time, Father, and that, as far as we know, to the depths that she did it, there was just one time that Mary Bethany did it, and she never needed to go to the cross again because she saw love. She saw love and she poured it out. So thank you. Thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you that we can ask you things that you care about. Thank you that we can hear your comments and marvel at the purity of your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, friend forever, Jesus, life. Thank you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen.